We are back for another amazing event. My name is Sina Kara. Really chocked to be here tonight. I can't believe I get to do this, but I do. And I'm really chocked that you're all here. Are you all here? Did you get here? Everyone who matters is here. Okay, I have to say that I have more events coming, and I want you to like save the date for these events. October 12th, we have Durga, Chu, Bose, and Haley Motek in the building. Not this building, actually, the Molson building. So please put that in your calendar. October 27th, we have Daphne Marlatt and Aaron Morey here for an evening of experimental poetry. November 3rd, we have the Irish playwright Rowena Carr coming. And she will be at the New York Amphitheater at 7 o'clock. And do you all know Suzette Marr?
Yeah.
Yeah? A few of you do? Hands up. Who knows? Suzette? Okay. I kind of thought that only a handful of you would know Suzette, but you should all know Suzette. You're going to love Suzette. She's amazing. She's coming on the 17th of November to the York Amphitheater, and you really need to come here. She's funny and transgressive and hilarious. And then, well, that's all I'll say. Spring is coming, and I'll say that in the spring. But okay, I will say Renee Gladden will be here in the spring. Tonight we have the pleasure of hearing, many of you heard Fred Moten's talk today. Now we'll hear the poetry. And to introduce Fred, I have the distinct pleasure of asking a student who was in the first class I taught at Concordia here 9 years ago. And he was brilliant and difficult. and lovely. And he's going to come up and introduce Fred for you. Let's give a hand to David Bradford.
Hi, I'm David. I'm a Concordia grad. I'm an MFA candidate at the University of Guelph. I'm a poetry editor at Knife Fork Book, a contributing editor at Lemon Hound 3.0. It's a hell of an honor to be here to introduce Fred. He's meant a lot to me over the years, these last few years especially. I should say I'm going to talk a lot about the Service Porch. He might not read from the Service Porch is what I'm hearing. That's his latest book. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and hopefully it'll speak to a lot of what Fred will read tonight. I'm pretty sure it will. Okay. I suppose one has a choice about whether or not to be experimental, Fred Moten says, but it never seemed like much of a choice to me. Experimentally, blackness dwells, and in poetry it lingers, he writes, between wanting and having. It's a place where difficulty and pleasure meet, he suggests in the Service Porch. In their essence is practice, establishing a strain and striation of questioning, the implicit relationship that exists between the fugitive and the centrifugal. Something he says he learned from Nathaniel Mackey, how to bid all Gibbons goodbye, as Mackey puts it, and then learned it again from Harriet Mullen, Cecil Giscombe, Tyrone Williams, Don Lundy Martin, and Giovanni Singleton. Something learned in the work that emerges, he claims, as a function of us listening to one another, a dwelling that's social, a collective project, like a band. Over the course of 5 books of poems and decades of scholarship in the Black radical tradition, Moten highlights the importance of that interplaying. It's how he speaks of what his Black radical aesthetic, along with that of the poets mentioned above, owes to what he describes as Amiri Baraka's sublimely Black vernacular and the way it crosses modernism and Black aesthetic radically. It's the consideration and thanks with which he returns Damnor Bessé Philip's song, or revenge on the lyrical tradition, he calls it, and the work it opened up, how it disrupts the lyrical subject for him and others. It's the way he credits the work of the many experimental voices he names and mashes up in B. Jenkins, itself named for his often credited teacher, his mother. A whole mess of music Fred Moten's been in talks with in his poetry for some time. Or as his Andrea Geyer or Margaret Carey calls it, a transgenerational lotion of breathing. Crucial flesh in the game. Flesh without which he may never have gotten to what he's written. Moten's instantiation of that flesh is what brought the Black radical tradition and the service porch to life for me. The way the plurality he chooses to foreground, whether it be him and his wife Laura ripping off baby names and Could Be Gone, or the whole life of the workshop and all school crit, subordinates whatever he's trying to voice throughout the book. It's not that I have to say, he calls it the work of being true to the social life in somebody else's sound and grammar, as where his well ball sits in his head and where he fits in the collective one. What Moten wants that work to become is a practice of revision on the edge, where ethics and aesthetics are in parallel play. It's a place, as he puts it, where what we come together to do starts to look like what we do when we come together to enjoy ourselves, as in it has to be a collaborative space, a collective study toward an alternative to the ongoing, a coalition out of this is fucked up for me too, no single one's own, whether out loud or on the page. It says we are entangled. Each of us isn't enough, and that's a good thing, somewhere to work toward and assembling. Something slippery, not quite made for containing. A music, two trio for three, he writes, in a flock of flocks. It's the kind of work that asks that we hustle to make it, first and foremost, the sound of a welcome, of inquiry opening up between us, the sound of a swarm. Moten, meanwhile, is making sure we hear it. Something to listen for, an answer. Please join me in welcoming Fred Moten.
Tonight, I was gonna originally read something from a book called Houston's Tavern, which is the first sort of full-length book of poetry that I did, and it was published by my friend Renee Gladman, who I'm glad to know that is y'all are gonna see soon, who's, you know, kind of a hero of mine, heroine, or either one. And I feel like, you know, you made some stuff from Service Force sound so good that I shouldn't read any of that stuff that you mentioned, but I'll read some other stuff from it maybe in a minute. And then towards the end I'll read a few things from a couple things that were kind of adjunct to the Service Porch that ended up being a part of this book that I did with a good friend and collaborator of mine named Wu Sang called Who Touched Me, which is kind of, I don't know if you can actually get it around here, find it, it's, but I have a bunch of boxes of them, so if anybody wants one.
Can you hear back there now?
Can you
hear?
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna read, maybe I'll skip around, okay? So, this is called Something to Say. Filament, this is Saver, turn thread. At the store that time, when the bus came, turn thread and twist, like a fly, 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 like the sun. A super string, clear, a dissidence. My running puts down roots, like Eugenie Barbeau, or a wing in distress, a blind riding, howling monk-like form, of waving, snatched, curving, black fold, blue fold, in desire for, like a hidden drapery, and reaching for a wire in the cable of this bridge, this canting cable stay, come, this suffering and stretch, and step, and brush, and blur, relay. And part of what happened is these five books of poetry, they were all connected in my head, and stuff started happening where, I mean, so stuff comes back in a certain kind of way. And so there's all these echoes. Maybe they should have all just been one book. I'm not sure. So I'm going to try to just read without necessarily pointing out all the echoes. And now I'm just scrolling down the page, so just bear with me. That was something to say. It's not that I want to say. It's not that I want to say that poetry is disconnected from having something to say. It's just that everything I want to say eludes me. But if I caught it, I wouldn't want it, and you wouldn't want it either. Maybe poetry is what happens on the bus between wanting and having. I used to think it was what happened on the bus between Oakland and Berkeley. And it was, too, like Violet, Texas, and people's voices. All kind of subtle transmissions broke off by stops and bells. Repercussive riding, mobile contact, slow symposium. Now, even in the absence of my office, I still want to move. And so I have to move, but never get there, in this whole extended region of not being there, of stopping and saying, not here, not here. And of that being, in the end, pretty much all I have to say. What I want to say is that having something to say is subordinate in the work of being true to the social life in somebody else's sound and grammar. Its placement in my head, my placement in the collective head as it moves on down the line. The itinerant ensemble arrangement of the 40, and sometimes of the 15, is where I started studying how to live in poetry. I want to transfer study as a practice of revision on the edge, where ethics and aesthetics are in parallel play. Some kind of homeless shift between reading and writing that emerges in a set is our cut-up schedule. A willow's diverse list of things, point-to-point restlessness, interlocking schemes of material breaks, the constantly renewed syllabus of a new composer's guild in the middle of enjoying itself. What we come together to try to do starts to look like what we do when we come together to enjoy ourselves, handing, saying what we want for one another, to one another, in and out of words. So the 40 and the 15 are bus numbers that I used to ride to get from Berkeley, where I was going to school, to Oakland, where I lived. And there were other buses that I was riding too. And so there's some stuff in the service porch, which I'm trying to scroll to as quickly as I can. You just have to wait with me on the bus. It's from the early section of the service porch, which was stuff that I was writing and working on when I was in Berkeley in the mid 80s and late 80s. So a lot of the stuff from the last book of poetry is really some of the first stuff, I suppose you could say. So let's see. This is called 80, which is one of the buses I used to ride. Hear my partner Joe go, he different. He don't mean nobody no harm to do this run with me. Hear my stick of wood, my baseball bat. Went to the foot doctor about my calluses, but they ain't do nothing till next week. I heard from him. This bus go to East 14th? This bus go to San Leandro Bart? Now Joe, You've been riding this bus long as I've been driving. You right, that's right, you right. This, let me do the 80, go to San Leandro Bar. Thank you very much. Thank you, yeah, the 80. Thank you. Send for me. Come on back and ride with me. Come on, ride back with me. This is not called after a bus line, but it's something that happened on the bus. I think it was the 15. Felix Mitchell was this famous or infamous drug dealer who kind of kicked off a lot of what was most, I don't know what you would call it, vicious and interesting and rich and horrific about the Oakland drug trade in the 70s. He lived in these projects in East Oakland that people called the 69th Street Villas. And he eventually went to jail, went to prison, and was killed. And he had this huge funeral. The funeral procession went all through Oakland, from like west to east. And I was on the bus as it kind of got mixed up with the funeral procession, which meant it took a while to get home. It's called Felix Mitchell's Progress Through Elementary School. In a fake ride, crushed in a fake house, cracked, velvet stemming wide, Keisha flicked while the ivory man passed. The ivory man passed standing in an airplane, a diamond mask in a chute, a mechanical beat, a train, in an axe curving, San Pablo whistling at 5 and 4 and 3. This is 40, another bus. Red cubes hold down a ponytail, got on with a baby doll, and little sunglasses got off on School Street. Brushed past at 27 with a little baby doll and Milky Way, Rose and Cocoa Pocket. Brushed past with a trike to jam, the villas on 69, the wind at 17 window, and feel the one with the goldest hand holding down, brushing past. And by this time in Oakland, I was already with my partner, Laura, who David was referring to. So this is a couple that comes from, they're together, so to speak. Laura's alone time. Is Laura's alone time my green shade? Don't she want me around? A long line of sadness. I examine it from every gesture. I rub my arm. What have I done to face the other way? Every glass got edged, distorted, tape of tape. This phased dry laugh. Don't she want me around? Get the fuck out of my room. As far off as the Channel Islands, invisible as the haze, as far as that. I guess I should put the car away. I guess I can tolerate. Nothing to do with me, something to hold, a bow, a sign for don't get around much anymore, get the fuck out of my room. But on the other hand, baby, you break everything that's made, that's so clear from here. Light breaks, men hide, tongues circle while we talk a little while in this full poor cell. Jerome, Robert Pete Williams, Soledad, the vanishing point blade or black, and they anticipate other meditation in delight of more than vision, but your hands slow hum while we talk a little while about that shit last night. When I woke up and you was on the couch, I got so scared. That blanket fit so snug, key and bars, cell with garden, but you talked with me a while. You brushed and broke with small flicks like Antonella, like Sunny. So I go back to Houston's tap and see what happens. I was talking to the guy who was here. We were talking about Walter Rodney.
Yeah. After.
All right. This is called Regroundings. With my brothers sounding like free disconnection of pan and Spanish horn and marooned with surprise, industrial set, say no, no, we ain't going home, as rudder limps and skews, and dance a black crepe veil with sober circular speed to James, the Bajan trumpeter, about the a development of this with my sisters, to learn how to write this pierce of political phonograph for the force of how you sound, material of what we made that night, us making sound. Trying to find if I it's funny, I can't. Okay, this is called Matoika. It's a word I made up, it's Greek. I don't know. Matoikos is the Greek word for slave. So I thought, what would be the feminine? I have no idea. She one of them impossible domestic shirt waisted, walking out together dark mornings in the evening, come home pantoum. Her hand blew up inside, blew up the house inside where she worked to blow it up and somehow loved them while she'd be cleaning up and scheming. Sowing seeds from reading, laying out with reeds, her hand blew up inside. In her air, she have a migrant curve, her hand blew up inside. She harassed the sheets she fold by singing hellhounds in the crease. This was her air and hand. The excluded middle passion with a right to philosophy sing hellhounds while folding in grace to that boy's winding sheet. She the source of air that ripped where she did not come from. She blur the air precisely through a comb or string. Her hand blew up inside in blurred prose. She bends sheets and notes by folding and rubs strings with bottoms. Sunday morning in the corner, juke and brush the air, her hand blew up inside. She always be escaping, coming home at night with things again and walking out again with them real early. Her air black city in her hand blew up inside. She always be talking about Cedric Robinson. As these, a lot of this stuff was being done, written, my friend, my best friend, Stephan Alari, was doing this research in Trinidad, and he sent me a ticket. So I was in Port of Spain for Carnival in 89, so it's so like that no, no way going home is tambu, I think. I was totally fell in love with all these Calypsonians. And I still, it's a suspended thing. I still listen to all that stuff, even though it's so long ago, I try to keep up with other stuff too, but. So there's a lot of Trinidad in some of these poems. I was thinking about this stuff. 11 Maroons. Wave treetops, wave burnt particles, wave sirens, wave gray perfume. Another new hand sacrifice a flag, because the knowledge of loss and the knowledge of God, simple, unfaithful, and dead man. Checking only from the outside, fat man to number one, the hard little blue days later, an old man in a wheelchair keep trying to get outside. Janine's a pale, unburied secret, buried angel, Relia, precious doe, a little girl who sold the sun, a little girl the thousand suns burned, 7, 8, in the crawl space, waiting, Salvador. He can't get outside. It's tomorrow already, every rupture. Check the box every day, fuck a flag. Check it only from the outside and distended. Hunger is the unending. The big breaks whistling like the new song is everywhere. Evacuate to the new morning jam in the shook up hills. The uncut burst of every whisper and broke street. Lock it down with positions. Under the curve to the quarters on Bedford and up again. The new morning boom of the ones who ain't ready to kill nobody. The free radical St. James AME Women's Day singing to make you look again to the movement of. Let's rendezvous at the victory of the outside with our soft blue hands, like maroons of the city, singing our new maroon song from everywhere, like a tag. no mix but shard black particle, shard black particle and hollow case or air. Sorghum hard veil, hard willow, no mix, no mix but shard black particle, shard black particle and sorghum. No shard, no mix but particle and horn, a veil, an awning, hollow case, mix every shard, black every particle, hard willow, shard, and sorghum. The club. I mean, so the club. When I was in high school in Arkansas, small town Arkansas called Fort Ice, Arkansas, there was a kind of juke joint, basically, out in the woods that that everybody went to, and it was simply called the club. It was owned by this guy named Fred Oakley. I guess what I was, so this book, I should say, so basically, there's a story behind me. Houston's Tavern was a tavern in lower Manhattan in 1730s, where, you know, seamen and workers and enslaved people and sometimes escaped slaves used to get together and drink, basically. And it turned out to be the locus of the planning of the so-called Great Slave Revolt of 1741. And really what I was trying to do in the book was just to kind of, I don't know, pay homage to those kinds of social spaces and to think about their placement everywhere, like all over the entire range, you know, of the African diaspora. So sometimes Houston's Tavern shows up for me at like a after hours fete, you know, someplace in Port of Spain, and sometimes it was, you know, this club in the small town of Arkansas. It was just, you know, the place, sometimes on the bus, you know. The club. Fred Oakley's is the roomy cell of St. Jerome's Sledge, the remainder of a whole range of things back off in the country. Scarring was likely if you couldn't dance. Everybody knew that someday they would blow up in a factory in Arkadelphia or Camden and things worked out. We lit the mill quarters up like a Christmas tree. The problem of amusement in black reconstruction. New move broke old names and said them off musically. Vodka in a time of country time, in a can of country time. Scuffed up new tomatoes just now blushing on the bottom like a star. Just slice them, put some salt and pepper on them, let them sit. I love to dance. I love to cut somebody when I'm in love. My baby upsets me. Let's see. Yeah, this is for me and my friend Steve Harney, Stefano. His dad used to call him Stefano, so he took Stefano. But anyway, this is called Stefano and Trunculent. I'm Trunculent. Did y'all? So basically, there's a joke behind this. Y'all ever get on, if you can't sleep late at night, one of the cool things you can do is just go to YouTube and look up Muhammad Ali. And it's just basically like hours and hours of devastating beauty, you know? And some of which is him boxing, but some, a lot of which is just him talking, including there's this one great clip where he's being interviewed by Howard Cosell. And Cosell is like, "You're quite truculent this evening." And Ali says, "Whatever that is, if that's good, I'm that." Stefano and truculent. A fresh hamburger, a stiff reed, a poacher's mask, a broken club. Like they say on the Strasse, life is the new hard. Then we walk from Houston's to DBA. At the extra special bitter local waterfront, we turn and say, "Goodbye, everybody." We don't legislate. We don't even have a card. The improper hold of the ones who own stealing are branded, cut holding, dodge freedom, make it sound like something. Precise, unprofessional barbecue, a chocolate drop, an open plan, and if it's good, I'm that. the world between blue and good, fabrics and straight rows, product and qualities, strain and slide and over, another way of making things. Good fly from blue, less sharp, more made, but reverse to flee. While we snuck off to the other side to enjoy ourselves, we played some music with each other, fiddled around to foment on that magic motherfucker, arrived singing the awkward discovery of an already given city. All right, I'm losing track of time, but maybe a couple more from Houston's Tavern. This was, I just read these two, maybe a couple more after this, but the second one of these is like my pitiful attempt at like a kind of more spoken word kind of thing. So, there is blackness with which the people have been called and who sway fervently to claim. Volunteer to call yourself to this interior scar outside. All themselves black have been historically alive, for which they have been given a world swayed fervently, voluntarily but under constraint everywhere. Hold, throne, a particular embraced affinity of veering, have loved and hate that romance. The people who are called black, who have been called out by being, the people who have called, who have been called, oh man, I'm gonna start all over. Because the problem is I keep revising it and I wrote something in here and crossed something out and I can't read my own writing. But I figured out what it is I'm trying to say. Actually, I'm gonna read it the old way and then I'm gonna read the new way and then I'll tell you how come, or whatever. There is blackness with which the people have been called and who sway fervently to claim. Volunteer to call yourself to this interior scar outside. All themselves black have been historically aligned, for which they have been given a world of swayed fervently, voluntarily, but under constraint everywhere. Hold, throne, a particular embraced affinity of veering, have loved and hate that romance. The people who are called black, who have been called into being by blackness as blackness, have loved blackness, changed blackness as love, homelessly in love. This has all been terrible, beautiful. But what I did was, as I said, the people who are called black, who have been called out of being by blackness as blackness, have loved blackness, changed blackness as love, homelessly in love. This has all been terrible, beautiful. Changed into to out of. So that was There is Blackness, and this is called Here It Is. I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? The R, the A to the K, I am. I am him, I'm in him, I'm am, yes ma'am, I'm back, I back, I'm hip, my man. I am that what I am, that one, that's me. I am that I am my own special creation. Tell them that I am. Tell them that I am sent you to say I am. Tell them that I have not, but I am, and as I am, I am, I am, I am, I jam, goddammit. Damn, that nabbit, hey, bobcat, that gummit, that dacious, that bobbit, that blasted, saying blasted gold in them there saying, I, Sam Hills, Sam Wise, Sam Ganja, Sam I am. I am not Sam. I don't eat ham. I do not eat no ham. I do not play no rock and roll. Radio won't even play my jams. Peanut butter, but no jam. A piece of bread together, damn. God damn, you God, make your own goddamn sandwich. Just like bread and jam for Francis. Just like my little honey pot, my rain cloud. I made up a little hum. I hope you like jamming too. Peanut butter makes you jam. No jam makes you jam slow. Watch me. Watch me slow jam. Watch me deepen. Susanna, watch me jam Club Alabama. I just re-signed with Feyenoord of Rotterdam. My daybreak half-shell buzz is just the new industrial glam, so watch my hands. My leg is jammed. The plan is closed. The eye being closed. Kick out the jams. I be. I am. Hamtramck. Mississippi. Goddamn. The Rhine Gold bling like Will I Am in the shook up hills with a bib cap and some hopping John. John, are you my ma'am? I am Imam. I am the bomb. I am Iman. I am an extra pretty man. I'm not a ham. I'm ham with essence. Bam. I feel like after that I should read some religious poetry. If I can, just unfortunately I haven't gotten it. There is religious tattooing. For a long time, the lotion stigma swirled on the man who closed me with a broken world. I came when they called me. That cotton rubbed me the wrong way, all the way inside over the course of time. Way before cotton sewn into the coat of the one who clothes me, before I started clothing them with paper, before cotton sewn into their coats, they curled up on flatboats all the way back up the country. The beaded strips of leather and cotton made me come to myself when he called me and wrote me on the one who clothes me. Pour some water on me. Make coming matter cut and twirl on me. The law of emulsion is always broke on me. Somebody pour some beautiful jute on me. Let her blow some horn on me. The man who clothes me in my skin is gonna write on me. Your writing moves to stop on me. Someday they're gonna curve this on a pearl on me, but now it's time to go and I can't wait to get up out from here. It's simple to stay furled where you can't live. For a long, long time I've been wearing this other planet like a scar on me. Illegal bitch tattoo. Wonder if the attack bunny and curved outlaw slowed down to leave. If a tattoo could speak, it would say, I have something to say. For my late caress, that my baby wear another place. It's hard to bring this place with you on your skin. Yesterday was overflow from the mountaintop, and we left from nowhere, but now we brought with us this bridge, my scar, this bitch, my car. Come here and bring it to me. I already got it with me. Skin is illegal beginning with color. Disobeyed beginning with nuns, prostitutes, what have you. Clothes that look like tattoos. Tattoos that look like clothes. My clothes scar me. Scarred by the one who clothes me in my well-worn skin. My skin wears me out. You wear it well as a form of clothing. I was scared, but I had my clothes on. I was clean in the form for clothing, but they didn't fit me. I was hurt, but I stuck my titties way out like this. I was messed up, but I ran them off. Look at the way they calls us bitches when they locks us in. My house coat is a small cell and my hands are dry. Explode the natural color shit with no name and the geograph with hiding out. We came as we are to do without law. So I was thinking, okay, nah. I was thinking that was the problem. I'll just read a couple more from, so these were the ones that were kind of supposed to be, maybe kind of could have been in the service porch, but I don't know what happened. Okay, and these are hard to read, but so forgive me if it seems like I'm not paying any attention to them. Denise's Poetics of Physical Sociology is another name for y'all's oceanic building. Dawn's black and blue mattering and gathered. Brenda's russet mantle of scattered mothering. Anne's fly shaker mixology and modest fruit. All y'all's low-pitched clavic gravity and grave accentual bloom. Graven, a vellum miraculously 3D and 4D familiarity indented and abandoned in its selflessness. Presence ruptures here and now. folds it in his arms to vapor so we can breathe the novelistic air we dance through. All this barbecue on the one hand, and the burnt ends of all this beautiful burnt orange wine on the other hand, is the history of radiance and Pendergrass and toasted rosemary. Wind, since we all up in here, rub us down in fire, cylinder, melinda, and salted bone. And this is a thing that doesn't really have a title, but I kind of wrote it as if it were a kind of opening poem for the service porch. And basically what I was trying to do is to provide an excuse for the fact that for whatever reason, over the last few years, I've gotten increasingly obsessive compulsive about a prefix, Anna, A-N-A. And I used to, and when I was using it at first, I thought I knew what it meant. I thought it meant maybe against in a certain kind of way. So that it was a way of undermining prefiguratively the root word that followed it. But it also can potentially mean again, right? So that at the very same time that it undermines the thing, it also does it again. And then I said, okay, well, that's cool. Let's do both. Anna sound like Anna, being not then one more time, continually naughty, full in nothing and more, hurtfully loving being different in tangled detail, like the upper room of Blewett's e-boot, like Blewett's unpayable dues, and all around her unplayable steeple, in blue, viewly, Anna and Anna almost always be mama, moo in a mechanics, an ecology of dispersed mama. She my play mama, my kid's grandma, my grandma's daughter, exhausted, ain't quite breathe right in that heavy water. Anti is the river Antes, all that and yes, yes, always unfolding, exiting an affirmative hell no, and stop killing my auntie, my only chance, unmissishly dancing off of Anne's unmerciful, unmerciful me, in Geechee and LV's Geechee Las Vegas, that Elks Club wild goose way to stop in and out of step with Daphne and them, and that blew up out of one and two Pine Bluff duet they in and out of. The dust of its explosion to be all up in all our kin. Anna, Anna, steady sighting these, they're sighting. It's so exciting. We so wrong. We gonna be all right? Feel we? Fuck the flow. The other half of the half that ain't been told can't be told till no one tells it nowhere. All right, so I'm gonna finish with some new stuff. That I've been working on a little bit. So again, I use this really small font, but I have a big screen, so I blow it up like 500 times. And then when I print it out, I'm always shocked by the fact that I can't. Okay, so there's a story behind it. This was, this guy emailed me. This guy emailed me talking about, do you want to write something for this journal that we're doing that would be a kind of, you know, supplement to a certain kind of sort of organizing that people are doing around the question of Palestine and Palestinian resistance and boycott and divestment. And I was like, but it was like this weird thing where I had to like, I couldn't just talk to him on the phone. I had to download some program that encrypted the phone call. It was like this fantasy of being surveilled, you know. So I wrote this thing. He was like, I want to write something that like regular people in Yemen would read, and then also regular people in a barbershop in Bed-Stuy or something. And I was like, well, it's kind of like, y'all ever see that movie, Devil in a Blue Dress? So remember that scene where the Don Cheadle character, you know, Denzel Washington leaves these two guys with Don Cheadle, and he comes back, and the Don Cheadle character, whose name is Mouse, has killed the guy. He basically says, "Well, if you didn't want him dead easy, why are you leaving with me?" He's like, "I don't know why you're asking me to write this. It's not like I got some shit I just have to say to people in a barbershop." You know what I'm saying? It's like, when I go to the barbershop, I like to listen to the people. You know what I'm saying? I don't really have a lecture that I need to give to the people at the barbershop. They don't need to hear from me. I need to hear from them. But anyway, I wrote this thing, and it was kind of the way I write, and he didn't even answer, you know? So. But I kept working on it anyway. Because I was like, well, what would I say to a person in Yemen? You know, what does he want to hear from me? When, like, he's constantly being bombed by shit I paid for. What am I supposed to say? Sorry, you know? I mean, we can't control these people. You know, it's like, he's like, tighten up. You got to get this shit under control now. We can't do it. You know, I mean, Obama's very important to us. His presidency is meaningful. He's important. Our correspondence is an accident for everybody we don't know. We correspond in terror. It makes us happy when we hear from you. We try to live by fighting. You try to fight by living. In the dust of your weddings, we'll be happy to hear from you. Our slogans are baby talk. Someday we'll be together. For now, can you survive, which we can't protect? We look for you in our relative absence. How you been in the general absence? You know we're teachers of sadness. When we're good enough to all but disappear, we'll let you know. What if solidarity is all but disappearance? Then underneath the show of violent service, our bruise is we are mesmerized by distance, not knowing who we are and why we fight. Fade into who we are feels far away from one another, but we're further away from who we are than you. We're this placelessness out of mind and can't quite deal with it. Forget them before you forget that. We forgot, and now pleasure and beauty are optional. When there's nothing left to fight, we'll have nothing to share. I'm an American. I wouldn't bullshit you for the world. When you see me, you'll know what to do. Resistances. When we reverse engineered the movement, we found the moment it became a movement was the moment it stopped moving. A body politic for newly born political bodies in the drawing of one last breath by one. Pear trees full of rivers all tied up in sugar ditch. Pulpit, gut bucket, molasses still and still, strong and good, but gone. I was born in Friction, Alabama. I voted for Drone Chalk Line. I died in Fraction, California. I remain a posthumous citizen. So resist the reduction of non-meaning. Resistance in poetry is how we feel. Grammar striding to divine this weave and not quite seen. When he says to resist is to become a conductive thread, that's what she throws, signals disruption of itself and code in the common field. What if we could slice lived experience off the bone? Failure is life, which death achieves so we can five or six more games. There's a black poetics of integrated biology, baby, and it bends like wine. Way too good to be a little bit above what the people say. We still don't know how many choruses Gonzalez is gonna take. Give and take is scale off scale. Pedagogical riots, transitional institutions, experimental bands. But why does the problem of scale always swerve into the problem of audience? Why does the need for institutions always show up as the problem of scale? Why is showing up always scaling up them lonely streets? What if what the people suffer ain't large absence but small non-communicabilities? Let's say, with regard to poetry or music, that small communicability is sound. then find one and find another one, feel good next to it. Put one next to another and sound is beside itself. Line that verge out, animal, mantic, anamathematical bruise, epidermal popularity. Yeah, they are liquidating the National Endowment for the Arts, and scientists need to freak out about that. It's like a breeze holed up in Greenblatt's basement. Will the class break up into small self-taught classes? Space-time is just an echo of mutual aid. To renew our habits of assembly, we need renewable assemblies like Langston's multiverse. Welcome to Cuernavaca. Welcome to Callahan. Indirectly act to welcome. They can't stop us. They can only hope to contain us. But people in the public better find some place sufficient for poetry in the market's outer depths. Better make it plain as no place. A divan with a double S and a bridge with a blur and a single stanchion. A collar-trotting bird where bird play Jimmy Lyons playing bird. In general, an airborne science, opaque in motion, motion all but still, till Linda comes sing her eyeball off the man. Her method against method is a baby Bjorn, gray-blue and a blue-black dive. I can't not get next to you, she says, in rubbed breath, whose expiration politics demands, to which the arts and sciences aspire as resistances. The showing. Remote, quad-crossing, loose and fours-like movement, limit shade with blur grid, touching without looking, frictive footing making music like the people on a horn. Young man, don't drop your sound. The need of grunt and breath are the making of the music. Airy ham bone, osteoporotic hock, heirloom lattice in an open corner, this mutual enlargement, this collective amnesty, a riot of rights for giving bodies away. Some Miller High Life in this funky joint. Walking hard, irregular runway and slanted circling, urging refusal of joining, she mad, man, then. And it feel like it ought to feel like that all the time. Like the old man's inverted saxes, an impersonality of impersonation. The sections have proper names, Curtis, active Curtis, and non-local rooms, which is why they kill every last one of us, though they can't kill all of us. Ship ahoy, ship of fools, in shambles like we carrying something. Helen's beauty is the brow of Egypt, the studious informality of no thing, face faded in the water it troubles. The way we carry ourselves is that we carry ourselves down to the waves and wave, or down to crossing. Young men, don't be shy with sound. Not give blue lights, look too modern, too high lift. Give dance hall rupture, handle the various proximities, interview improvisation like Andre, like a sustainable harvest of apposition, and after you come home from locking, make a salad for Olivia and spell M in Blackland cerebral puff. Shakalaka boom, y'all, which amounts to all this mothering, really, an audible footprint, a constant signal to the music. Curtis builds, and they walk out of murmurs, and everybody know. Impreservation is the verstemule of the world, running out of manhood long ago. That's the showing. That's the residue of carrying something more than something. So, last one. This one is, so I was working with these two friends, a musician named James Gordon Williams and a great filmmaker named Sine Woods. And we were trying to do a performance together, and we were just thinking about the whole dynamics of the trio. And I started listening to this great record by Ahmad Jamal, a kind of recorded version from the mid-50s of this classic kind of standard song, But Not For Me. And I was listening to it on iTunes, and then I was trying to figure out how to send it to them. And I thought, I'll just send them a link to a YouTube version. So I went and got the YouTube version, and then all of a sudden they were both playing together but staggered, so that the trio became, it was great. So anyway, this is called The General Bomb. But Not For Me twice, staggered, looping. It's cool too, because the density is light, phonic sparkle. Flesh ropes the body it waits for. When three threads out and fans and brushes under the duress of implotment and possession, immersion ruptures solitude no matter what. We can't breathe forever. We look for air pockets, an informal market on the corner, the club, a chapel made of bottle trees. Every last breath we want to breathe somebody, so beautiful and refusing, illuminating high water everywhere, graphic and quartering ourselves, Anna solid in embrace. Wasn't nobody but some chords and various anti-states and jingles. Blackness is arpeggiation and displacement. Blackness is swimming. Can't quite let the water go or be. We harp on the water. The blackness of the whole thing is that our flesh lights up the world, the ringing, the bubbles, the particles appear to fade in suspense. What else might happen to us folds us in. Not, but amniotic whale. We're whales. We hate the world. We love the word whore, our whirlpool pianism, our practice, our saturated name.
It's okay if you don't have.
you've been talking about doing kind of collaborative work and moving towards work that's kind of just collaborative for a while. Do you have anything on the horizon that you can talk about?
I mean, Stefano and I got a bunch of stuff that we've been working on together for the last few years, and it's probably eventually become a book. And then the stuff, I've just been in this long-running collaboration with Wu Tsang and also with Sine, and I'm just looking for pretty much, I gotta finish getting these books that are coming out next year done, like this proofreading, all that kind of stuff. And then I gotta decide if I wanna try to keep doing this blackness and poetry thing that the paper kind of came from and all that. But once I get those things done, I'm never writing anything by myself again. And basically, it was funny. I mean, there's a lot of gunky stuff going on in the U.S. around, sort of race and poetry. And it was this kind of stuff where you're constantly having to be involved in all this email stuff, And I get to the point, I was like, man, I wish I could. I just don't want to write any more of these emails. I just want to be able to work on my own stuff. And then couple days later, I woke up, I was like, man, I wish I could just not work on my own stuff. All I really want to do is just write emails. And that's pretty much what, I just kind of just don't want to do anything, by myself. And I've, been working a long time, and I've basically got promoted to the point where I can't get promoted. I don't have to do it. So just like to write stuff with Steve. And, I got stuff going on. My partner Laura's, she needs her alone time, But every once in a while, she doesn't mind working with me sometimes. So so there's a lot of stuff on the horizon and more. I mean, basically, any chance I get, I'm open to. So.
Hi. I'm curious if you have worked about the interactions you've had with Dont Ryan and Robert Semper, and if you could talk about the time you've shared with him.
Yeah, I mean, that was a totally important, really, thing, and it was just, again, a random kind of accidental thing when they and it opened up all this. Really, that was another big thing other than working with Stefan. So the chance to work with Don and Robert and Ultra Red, you know, in conjunction with this stuff they were doing with Whitney Biennial some years ago, and it made it possible for me to. Well, several. One is I just wrote a lot of stuff. It made me feel like maybe there was a performance aspect to it, you know, that I could get involved in. And also just that intensity and the fun of working with other people. And there's a book that I learned about from Don, which still means a lot to me in terms of, I mean, he was very, they were both really invested in the history of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and in the SNCC Freedom School curriculums. And we read and talked about that stuff a lot, and just read, and I realized something from Don that, like, what if it turned out that the civil rights movement was not about so we could go to school with you? You know, there's always these women would, you know, get up in the morning, fix breakfast for their families, get kids off to school and get them ready, go clean up, you know, some, you know, white folks' house, feed them, get them all set, come home, get their kids dinner fed, then take a bath, dress up to go to the mass meeting. And you thought, what if the reason that they went to the mass meeting was so they could keep going to the mass meeting, right? Like, segregation was not this thing that kept black people separate from white people. White people were viciously acquisitive in their constant demand for the time and presence of black people. That was not the problem. Segregation was the modality through which genocide was enacted. So the reason that you fight segregation is not so you want to be with them, but so they'll stop killing you, right? So what if it turns out that the mass meeting was so that you could keep going to the mass meeting? So, and I learned that, you know, or began to think about that stuff in conjunction with Don and Robert. And then that led to work I was doing with this group, Erica, that was connected with Ultra Red and stuff that we do still. Like, when I was talking about that one poem from the piece with Wu, another person who collaborated on that book with us is Denise Ferreira da Silva. And so Denise's Institute of Physical Sociology is like an actual thing. That's like this, I don't know, sort of study group slash performance group that we are working on and gonna do some stuff in New York in February. So we just kind of, just trying to see what it feels like to be in a big band, with which has as many possible configurations as you could have.
Hi.
Hey.
I was really interested in your in your poetry about the bus lines.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool how I just wanted to ask you about like those kinds of spaces of transience, right? And how how you feel. Obviously, you use that in poetry, and how is the transience going to affect like human, being able to write poetry, human creativity kind of thing, and specifically your project and like this like black radical, not genre, but you know, thinking of it, yeah.
Well, in a way, for me, the bus was kind of like a language lab. You know, there was just so many different varieties of English as well as other languages, you know. And to ride from downtown Oakland, which is pretty much where I live, to Berkeley, you know, you would, like, there's on Broadway in Oakland, there's this high school called Oakland Tech. And, you know, so there were, you know, black kids, Latino kids, Chinese, Cambodian kids, all of whom were speaking these amazing variations of a kind of migrant English. You know, it was, you know, Texas English, Louisiana, Arkansas English, you know, Vietnamese, you know, all these. So you could just, it was just a great way of understanding and being able to hear, you know, how rich and open and, you know, that the language actually is against the grain of whoever wants to try to regulate it, you know. And then at the same time, insofar as to, you know, the connection for me with the Black radical traditions, well, there's a couple different ways to think about it. I mean, you know, in terms of it emerging in relation to a bunch of different languages that people had to learn how to hear and speak and listen to under extreme duress and under conditions of transience, the whole of the slave ship was in language lab too. And that's, you know, that doesn't ameliorate or lessen any sense we ought to have of the brutality and suffering. It actually makes it worse. See, to the extent that there was life and some kind of vitality in that space, it makes any understanding of what happens there worse than if you thought that people had just become zombified or something. But then I once heard a great Black British filmmaker, John Acomfort, say that the third world as a concept and as a reality, or the non-aligned movement, to the extent that these things converge, was like something that started in the back rows of a plane that was going from, you know, South Africa to Bandung, you know, for the conference, right? So yeah, these spaces of transit, you know, are where, you know, you know, they might be something like those zones, those, I don't know if there's ever any such thing as an utterly naked declivity, you know, in the way that Fanon uses that term. But there's, you know, to the extent that there could be something like a naked declivity from which an authentic upheaval might emerge, sometimes I think these spaces of transit could be that, you know. And that's a tension. Maybe that, you know, we were talking about it in the undercommons between, you know, logistics and logisticality. How people who are having been moved, how you learn to move. You know, so having been caught up in this horrific dialectic between movement and constraint, how you learn to move.